Okay, we're back live again. That was Clary and Fury there with their first part of the Modems, the Bulletin Boards and the Scene broadcast. Thanks to those guys for that. It was pretty damn good. Now, just before we go on a bit, I've just been looking in the RC channels. We've got lots of stuff going on in the channels at the moment. First of all, big shout out to the Scream. Yes. All right, Scream there. You got big shout out to you. Let's have a look. What else we got? That module that you heard at the end, the Real AT&T, that's also going to be on the website. If you want to download that, that's a real old classic. That was released years ago, many, many years ago. I can't even remember when I first heard that. What else have we got going on here? We've still got people with a few problems connecting. I'll see if I can sort this out for you guys, but I don't think it's my end because I'm getting a very good stream quality. I think it might be our relay host, in which case... Well, I'll see what I can sort out. Let's see, what else have we... What else have we had in the channels? Okay. Yes, Whacker Tracker. Yes, Solo just mentioned Whacker Tracker. That's another very, very old tracker program. And, we've had some more emails come through. Let's have a look at what emails we got. Yes, TC, Thundercat... he would like a top 10 bulletin board list. Okay, we've had all these top 10 cracker groups, we've had all these top 10 modules and this and that and the other. We want a top 10 BBS list. Now, to do that, just send your favourite BBSs to, defbase@thehavoc.co.uk. If you send your top 10 BBSs or just your favourite bulletin boards, Amiga, PC, old school, new school, wares, whatever, send them on down, we'll compile a list and we will see who comes out at the top. And, of course, TC, what can we say, mate? We know you'll be near the top, don't worry about it. And, of course, Havoc will be right there at number one. Right, what else have we got? Let's go back to the news for a minute. Let's have a look, what other news have we got? Oh, this is the news. Okay. TheHavoc.co.uk, yes. As part of our scene services, we will take on websites for groups, parties, and people. So if you're looking for web space, we've got unlimited web space. If you're looking for somewhere to put your downloads, your about your group, links to your files, links to other people's sites, and you don't want to pay any money for it because you're all cheap seniors, send me an email and we'll sort it all out. That's submissions@thehavoc.co.uk. We'll give you a website which will either be the www.thehavoc.co.uk/yourname.htm or /yourname and give you a directory. Have it in whatever way you want. We support ASP, CGI, the whole lot basically, Java, script, anything you want. Stick it all in a website. Send it to us and we'll sort you out. We'll sort out the technical details anyway. But that's just another thing that we will do. We're here for the whole scene. Like I said earlier, we've got cooperations going on. Less Music is one of our cooperations. We've got other cooperations with various people going on at the moment. Quite a few names that I can't find. I've lost the text file for this point in time. Anyway, if you want to get on here and cooperate with us, whether you're exchanging audio banners, whether you're exchanging website banners, or you want to get on here, get on the station with news, or get your modules on, or get your art, or you want us to release your demos for you, host your sites, contact us again. We can do a lot for you, and I'm sure you guys can do a lot for us. What else? Yes, now this is another thing I wanted to talk about. We've got the IRC channels at the moment. There's a lot of guys in the IRC channels. There's a lot of guys in the IRC channels. Jesus, I just look back at them now, and we've got... between the servers, we must have about 20-odd IRC channels. Anyway, 20-odd users in the IRC channels. Right. Yes. Now, what I was going to do, aside from these, where you guys are typing in and I'm reading out anything important that you say, it's been a bit of a nightmare because I'm finding it really hard to see what I'm doing on one machine and then look on the other. So what I was going to do was set up NetMeeting. Most of you should know what NetMeeting is. If you don't, it's like internet telephony. So I can talk to you live. What we were going to do is set it up so that people could dial into us, basically, across the net, and get on the station and talk to us live, discuss things live on the air. We were going to do this, but after I took a quick poll, nobody seems to use it, which is a bit of a problem, and nobody actually seems to use anything. Web phone, I don't know, IRC Live, whatever they are. Nobody seems to use any of them, to be honest. So what I would really like to do is get a way that you guys can contact us, can dial into us, and get on the air live, basically, talk to us. Now, we need some help with this one, because I was going to go with NetMeeting. There were some other people that suggested Webphone. We don't know what to go for. So you guys are the listeners. Mail us and tell us. And all your comments and all your advice to netradio@thehavok.co.uk. Just write down one of these email addresses. If you want to contact us, just write down any one of these email addresses. Oh, sorry about that, guys. And send us your opinions, and we'll try and sort something out. The other thing that somebody mentioned, actually, they got in there before I did. Havok Radio or Havok.tv. What we're going to do eventually, when I get this sorted out, is we're going to stream live TV along with this radio broadcast. Now, I don't know when that's going to be, because it's going to cost me an absolute fortune, and I need to set it up. I don't have the cameras, and I don't have the streamer at the moment, and I'll have to find a new carrier. But when we get it all sorted out, and obviously if anyone wants to donate any hardware, money, web space, bandwidth, anything you like, then get in contact with us. But this is going to be something we're going to do very soon. In fact, as soon as possible. We'll be streaming live TV. What's going to be on the TV? I don't know. This is only the first radio broadcast, hell. But that's what we're going to do. So we'll see what happens in the near future, hopefully. Now, what other news have we got here? Let's have a look. Well, something that I wanted to talk to you about was most definitely going to be IP6. Now, this is going to be something a little bit technical. There's been a lot going on about it, and to be honest, some people that I've spoken to don't actually understand what IP6 is. So let's have a quick word about IP6. At the moment, with IP4, we've got just 4 billion possible IP addresses. Okay, IP4, the way the addressing is done in this current incarnation of IP, we've only got 4 billion IP addresses. Now, that's not very many. We're running out of those pretty quick. So after we move to IP6, there's going to be 340 trillion, trillion, trillion. Okay, that's 3.4 times 10 to the power of 36. Okay, that is a lot. Why does that work? Well, that's because of the new 128-bit address space. There's other reasons that we use in IP6. Along with IP6 and IPsec, which is IP security, you can get a lot of security in with this. It's a lot better for network management. Mobile devices is another problem that we've been having. Basically, all these mobile phones, all these 3G mobiles, are just running us out of IP addresses at the moment. You think the amount of people now around the world that are getting constant connections, and every single person there needs at least one IP address. It's a problem. So another benefit, of course, of IP6 is more reliable performance. IP4 has a lot of routing problems. It's probably not as evident when you're sitting there at your PC or at your Amiga and using it as normal. But when you work with it all the time, I can tell you this from experience, you get a lot of quality issues with it. There's not, as I say, for the end user, there's not a lot of issues, but for the people that work with it, and for the 99.995% availability people, they need the quality that V6 allows. Anyway, there's also those, of course, that suggest that IP4 extensions are capable of fixing the problems, but... Well, IP4 extensions, let's see. Well, IPsec is a very obvious extension to IP4. IPsec was actually introduced as a separate protocol, and it's been tagged onto IP4 to bring it into the marketplace earlier. Another thing, IPv4 servers are very, very susceptible to spoof attacks. Now, what does this mean? Well, IPv4 servers, they can't determine if the packets they're receiving have come from an acceptable node. This basically means they can't tell whether you're spoofing your IP, which is great for people that want to hack sites, and it's great for people that want to try and give themselves fake DNS names, but it's not really very good for people that want to audit it. So, at the moment, a partial answer has been firewalls, but problems with firewalls where you've got performance hits, you've got restrictive policies, and, you know, just since I've started broadcasting here, people have said already that they've had to go and reconfigure their firewall because they can't listen to the stream. Now, that's obviously not what you want. You just want a firewall that sits there that doesn't affect you, doesn't affect your bandwidth, doesn't affect your speed, and doesn't affect what you can access. That's not going to happen. Another reason that we've got a problem with IPv4 is network sniffing. Now, At the moment, a lot of people ignore network sniffing. Whether you're on a network that's being sniffed, there's not really a lot you can do about it. If you're on a switch network, then the problems are less. Why are you on a switch network? Well, all the packets go directly to the port that you're using on the switch rather than passing across the backbone. But even that, there's still problems. You can use what you can do actually to sniff on a switched network is if you trigger a RIP broadcast, RIP is a routing information protocol. If you trigger a RIP broadcast and tell people that you're a router, then what happens is all the packets from everyone come via your network card. So all this, you can't sniff on a switch network, that's absolute bullshit, to be honest with you. Yes, there you go. Anyway, with IPv6, there's end-to-end encryption at the network layer, which is IPsec. IPsec has been integrated with IPsec. There's further handshaking protocols. At the moment with IP4, all you need to do, you do a SYN, you get a SYNACK back, and you send an ACK. So you're the client, you want to connect to my broadcast, so you send out a SYN. My broadcast sends you a SYNACK back, and then you send an ACK back. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, people can initiate a man-in-the-middle attack. That means that somebody sits in the middle. When you send out a SYN, they send you back a SYNACK, and then send a fake SYN onto the server. Then when you send back an ACK, they send you a fake response, and then they... have I got that round the right way? Yeah. Then they send the server back a fake response. Anyway, you can see how it works. They spoof both sides of the argument. What that means is you think you're talking to the authenticated server, the authenticated server believes it's talking to you, and you're sitting there, or believes it's talking to the real user, and you're sitting there in the middle controlling it, and you'll get all kinds of stuff like plaintext passwords, credit cards, you know, God knows, whatever you do, it works on absolutely everything. Talking about security and that kind of stuff, something that may be of interest, everyone's heard of SSL, Secure Sockets LAN. Now, SSL doesn't only work on HTTP. SSL was actually implemented as a complete security protocol before IPsec, and it actually works on FTP, Telnet, all those kind of things. SSL can be implemented on any of the stateful protocols which transmit in plain text. So, there you go, that's a bit of information for you. I only found that out recently, a couple of months ago. I was quite surprised when I found that out. Anyway, we've obviously got problems with going to IPsec. We can't just go straight to IPsec. There's work that needs to be done on routers. There's work that needs to be done on clients. Obviously, the current IP4 clients are completely incompatible with IP6. In a non-Microsoft world, everyone but Microsoft, most operating systems developers are pretty much well advanced into the creation of their IP6 clients. There are provisions in place that'll stop allow, if you like, IP4 and IP6 to coexist for many years. But there's been a big problem about this. People are saying that you're moving to IP6, you've got to move the whole way. Your network is not secure. You're still running a multi-protocol network. And all the security guys will turn around and say to you, oh, well, hang on, look, this isn't secure. It's IP4 and IP6, multi-protocol network. You don't need them both. That's not secure. There's all these kind of problems. And, of course, these are the people that are sorting it all out originally. So, you know, they get to say what they like. Anyway, right, so implementations of IPsec on non-Microsoft platforms. Well, we've had IBM AIX, that's got it built in already. Netware 5, and all the updates, that's actually got it in there. And BSDI, some Linux distributions have got it as well. I think Mandrake has got it, and I don't know about Red Hat. I would say Red Hat's probably got it. Sun's got a prototype for Solaris 7, and it had IPsec enabled in 1995, but nobody actually could talk to it, which is a bit of a problem. What else? Let's have a look. Compaq has a True64 prototype available. I think that's working with all the Insight managers, so I don't know how that would actually work on servers as such. And HP. HP's got a developer's kit out already, which is good news, but HP are usually ahead of the field anyway. People that are still doing it, Apple, they're now building IPsec into OS X, and there are some more Linux distributors that are not including it. And of course, Microsoft is still sitting there right at the back saying, hey, we'll do it eventually, and when we do, then it'll happen. Okay, so that's IPsec for you. Give you a little bit of information there. Let's see what else. Now, what else in the technical world? Zone Alarm. If any of you on PCs use Zone Alarm, there's been a whole stack of vulnerabilities found in Zone Alarm. You can crash your machine remotely, you can kill people off the net straight away. AOL Instant Messenger leaves its users vulnerable to a remote attack. Let's have a look. Vulnerability has been identified in AOL Messenger that lets a malicious attacker take over a remote machine. It's important to note that AOL Instant Messenger does not need to be enabled, only installed. Ooh, that's a bit nasty. If you want to find out about that, that's all on the AtStake website. And there's check bug track for stuff like that. Let's see. More buffer overflows. Buffer overflow protection for Windows NT in 2000. SecureWave announces the release of SecureStack version 1.0. Protects NT in 2000 from buffer overflow attacks. Let's have a look what it does. It runs as non-executable code. And fair enough. Okay, what it does, it sits in the kernel and runs as non-executable code, apparently. Some kind of very flash coding system. Let's have a look. Back to more scene-related stuff. IRC. A Romanian hacker has launched a major distributed denial-of-service, forcing one of the largest IRC networks, Undernet, to shut down much of its service, system operators said on Monday. That was Monday this week. That's interesting. Let's have a look. Let's see what happened. One IRC sysop who spoke on the condition of anonymity said that the attacks appeared to be coming from hundreds of remote machines taken over by a single hacker based in Romania. Well, that looks like Trinu, doesn't it? Somebody's just gone and loaded Trinu on a bunch of Unix servers, and they've initiated a DDoS. What else? Let's have a look. Apparently, that's still going on. They're still having problems on Undernet. According to Undernet authorities, some ISPs have been bombarded with 100 meg of data per second. Let's have a look. Now, there's a small problem with this. I mean, the reason this is not good, I don't think people should be targeting IRC like this. I think this is very bad. Why? Well, IRC makes ISPs lose bandwidth for no return. Basically, there's no return from carrying IRC, and if they find that the IRC is being used as a means to break their bandwidth, break their servers, run DDoS attacks on people, then they're just not going to bother with it. They're going to shut it down, and it's a waste of time. One statement actually was issued by Undernet, I found. It says, to put it simply, we cannot provide you with a free and stable IRC service if it means the companies providing that service must continually suffer the loss of customers and revenue. The cost is simply too great. This ongoing problem threatens the existence of IRC as one of the classic internet services. And this was actually a statement from the IRCNet people. Now, this is a problem. You can understand why this is a problem. The IRC is just really not cared about by most service providers. They would shut it down in a second if they had a good reason to. And they know that they wouldn't lose that many users. The proportion of people that actually use IRC is very, very low on the paying side of things. I mean, if you think, let's think, one of the largest ISPs in England, Demon, I would say that they charge £200 a year just to have a standard dial-up account with it. Now, I'd say the people that pay £200 a year just for a standard dial-up account are not the kind of people that are going to be sitting on IRC, are they? So that's pretty worrying, actually. That's a bit of a problem. Let's see, what else? Final bit of news, I think. Let's have a look at this. Ah, yeah. New version of the MP3 format promises to deliver the same audio for half the file size. Well, haven't we heard this one before? Thomson Multimedia is working to develop a new version of its patented MP3 technology. It says the new format dumped MP3 Pro will offer the same audio quality as the MP3 format in about half the file size. It will be compatible with existing MP3 content, and it's going to be available in the middle of this year. Now, I've heard this before. I've heard this a lot. MP3 is dead. You know, long live A-Track, long live whatever. MP3, people need to realise that MP3 is not technology. MP3 is simply a compression ratio. The technology is the hardware that goes into these portable players. That's simply it. You know, we could have had like portable Pro Tracker mod players about 10 years ago, and people wouldn't be calling them like, it's the Pro Tracker format. What it is, MP3 is just a protocol. You all know that. And people go around and they say that MP3 is technology. It's not technology in the stakes that they use it. And to be honest, I think all these formats are going to die. What you're going to find is stuff like the Sony Memory Stick. Now, that is a that is one impressive piece of technology. What you do with that memory stick, it goes in everything. It goes in the AIBO, the Sony's robot dog. That's another impressive piece of technology. It can go in anything, and it can go in the memory stick Walkman. The memory stick Walkman, well, it basically takes any format you can think of, and you can download ROM updates, and you can download pretty much everything onto it, and it will play whatever you like. So back to this Thompson stuff. One key format in keeping the formats relevant is the bitrate. It's all about bit rates, and it says 64k bit. Now you see, they're just saying that they've reduced the bit rate on MP3s, really, which is not very impressive at all. That's not a new technology at all. Anyway, so that's pretty much the news for this time. Let's have a look. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to hand you over here to Macke for his very surreal rant. You'll have to listen to this to believe it. Then I'm going to come back afterwards and just go through the emails, tell you a little bit more about the information, about what's coming up next week, and, well, I'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Right, we're getting near the end of the broadcast now, guys. Thanks for sticking with us through the whole of this. It's not been the exact first show that I wanted, but it's not gone too bad, I don't think. There's been a lot of problems leading up to this, and to be honest, it's come through pretty well, I reckon. Anyways, right, so let's have a look. What have we got left here? Well, I think what we need to do is first of all, let's check the email. Well, there you go. No surprise there, then. Anyway, let's have a look at the email. So, as I said earlier on in the show, we've got an email there from Thundercat. He wants to see a top 10 bulletin board list. That would be good. So, as I say, all you guys, mail in your favourite bulletin boards to us, and we'll compile the list for you. Let's have a look. What else have we got? We've got some... let's have a look down here. I'm given a new logo by Aki there. Thank you very much for that, mate. We've been given a nice little logo for the website. Let's have a look at our other emails. Emails here. There we go. Ah, yes. Now, this one's good. Here we go. Got an email from a guy from AOL.com. A guy called Shiftles. He says, yo, make it so I can actually read the text. Keep it simple. Whoa, kill those wavy things. Make something solid. Some people are colorblind. I might decide to bother actually reading it. If the font were up to one or more two. This guy can't write. Anyway, he says, I hate leaning because I slouch in my chair a lot. It's not that hard, really. Well, let's see. Our answer to that is, thanks for the detailed description of the problem there, mate. In your case, I'd probably recommend that you buy a bigger monitor or you increase the font size. If you're using Internet Explorer, you might find a handy option under View, Fonts, and Largest. I can also really recommend a magnifying glass if you find that option works for you. I've heard that opticians can provide a more permanent solution. Anyway, AOL people. Well, AOL makes me laugh. I mean, they must notice that very soon everyone is going to have broadband access. And to be honest, how are they possibly going to charge anyone? How are they going to find ways to charge you? They're just going to go under. Anyway, I think this probably sums up AOL the best.
Welcome to a new way to communicate. A new source of news, information, and computer software. Introducing American Online.
Hey, with American Online, I can just point and click.
Oh, wait. With American Online, you can send and receive email, even across the internet.
Hey, I've got email. Okay, I open the mailbox. No, that's not it. Maybe I... No.
American Online puts you in touch with information resources all across the country.
How do you get this thing open? Open! Application in use? What application? I can't even start any applications!
Call now for your free trial. You'll get free software and 10 hours of free online time your first month, which you can spend trying to figure out how to open your email box.
Knock it timed out! What does that mean? Jesus, I hate this thing!
American Online. It's knowledge. It's power.
It sucks!
Yeah, I think that's pretty true, actually. Anyway, guys, right, it's coming to the end now. We've been broadcasting for an hour and 16 minutes. It's gone pretty well, to be honest. It's gone really well. We had so many problems getting to this point. just people being away. We had slots sent to us that were corrupt. I couldn't get the machines to work. I couldn't get the streaming to work. My firewall went down. My broadband access doesn't even work properly. But to be honest, it's gone through really well. Really well. We've had a lot of listeners come in today. A lot of listeners tune in. The feedback from you guys has been great. This first broadcast, if you guys are listening to the introduction that I archived to the website back in December, you probably noticed that it's very different. That broadcast that I put on the site in December was just a basic idea. This is really what I want to do with the station. I hope you guys understand now, and I hope listening to this, you've really thought that, yeah, you want to get involved with this. Well, that's good news. I need more submissions, always. We always need more submissions. Submissions, they can be slots, they can be, when I say slots, I mean broadcasts on the station. If you want to do that, get in contact with us, we will sort you out completely. You can always find me on FNET and IRCNET in all the usual channels. If you go on to ojuice.net, you'll find my info on there, or the www.thehavoc.co.uk, you can get me there as well. Please submit your stuff. I know this is the same problem that all disc mags have. Sceners are just too damn lazy for their own good. So, like I say, I'll just keep repeating the point. Send us your submissions. Submissions don't just have to be slots. They can also be just text files, information. You've heard me read out some text files and information on here for Eurochart, for various places, you know, for Less Music. This is a quick way to get more people knowing about who you are, about what you are. So if you just want to send us a bit of info, then, well, you know, send it to us. Austin Power says it best. Yes, I do. Anyway, send us the info and we'll broadcast it. We'll sort it out with you. We'll do what we can for you. We're here for you. We will sort it out. Anyway, so the next broadcast is going to be next week, guys. It's going to be next week, and I'm pleased to announce that we're going to have some guests in here. We're going to have Drift and Randall. They're going to be coming in here doing the broadcast with me, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. What are we going to be talking about? Like I said, all kinds of stuff. If you want us to talk about something in particular, send me an email before next weekend. Send me an email before Friday. Tell me about what it is, or send me an email with a link in it. I'll go and look at the link, and we will have a chat about it. We will do a broadcast for you about whatever you want to hear. Of course, if you want to get on the station, we need your submissions at least a day before we go live. Okay. We're going to be broadcasting probably at least once a week. It depends how it goes, because it's a real nightmare. It takes up a lot of time to sort this out, so it may go to once a fortnight. But it does mean the broadcast will be longer and it will be higher quality, and that's, of course, what you want to hear. Right, let's see. Next week we're going to be, well, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. You're just going to have to tune in. Anyway, it's about time for me to go off here, guys. I'm going to be on the IRC channels now for a little bit. Come along and talk to me. Tell me what you think. And give us your feedback, send us an email, and if you've just tuned in right now and you're missing the end of the broadcast, then this entire broadcast is going to be archived to the website very shortly, so you'll be able to download it and stream it direct from the website. Okay, guys, I'm going to leave you with a tune by Prob. It's called Body Rock. Okay, this tune is came from the Mono label, Monotonic. A great label they are. You can find them at mono211.org. And some classic music there. Let's have a look. Just before I go, I'm going to check the emails again, and I'm going to have a quick look on the website. Yep, some more mail there. Mail from the screen. And let's have a look on the website. Okay. Well, we seem to have a small problem here. Okay, the music seems to have died on me. There we go, that's better, that's what I wanted. Okay, let's see. Well, I'm going to see you guys next week. Have a good one. I'll see you on the IRC channel soon. Def Bass for the Havoc Freenet Radio. Later.